DuPont, Padmahansa, Padi Vajakacharya, Asatara Satoshi Srimani's Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Premshikahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopina Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai, Ganga Mayi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Tonight we're going to read from Sri Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, text number 14. Okay? But before we start, we're going to have to just tolerate this. This is one of the first instructions in Bhagavad Gita, is to tolerate the miseries in the material world. So one has to, how do you deal with them? You have to tolerate them. Unfortunately, many of us don't have a lot of tolerance. But Krishna is very kind that he's always giving us things to tolerate. And if you don't tolerate it nicely, he'll give you another something or other so that we finally get it down. Okay, that wasn't really part of my class, but Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna. So text, okay. Many verses in Bhagavad Gita, they're standalone verses. They're so prominent that you could just pick out a verse and just talk on that one verse. But tonight, I would like to put this verse in a little bit of perspective. So this is chapter 8 in Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 8, so here's a question for you. From this side of the room, do we know the name of chapter 8? Some of us? Some of us? Chapter 8? Prabhupada Priya Prabhu? Attaining the Supreme, thank you. Attaining the Supreme. So this is what Arjuna wants to do. And this is what Krishna wants Arjuna to do. Attain the Supreme. So Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, he's given the whole contents of the Gita. He summarized it and talked about many different types of yoga and this and that. And then goes on and on and on. He explains karma yoga and jnana yoga. And he explains a little bit about bhakti yoga. But here in chapter 8, he's talking a lot about bhakti yoga. So we'll talk about that in relation to this verse in a moment. So here's the verse. Ananya cheta satatam.
Ananya cheta satatam.
Ananya cheta satatam. Yomam smarati nityasaha.
Yomam smarati nityasaha.
Tasyaham shulabham partha.
Tasyaham
shulabham
partha.
Nitya yuktasya yogina.
Nitya
yuktasya
yogina.
Ananya cheta satatam. Yomam smarati nityasa. Tasyaham shulabham partha. Yuktasya yo, nitya yuktasya yogina. Please chant.
Ananya cheta satatam.
Ananya cheta satatam.
Yomam smarati nityasa.
Yomam smarati nityasa.
Tasyaham shulabham partha.
Tasyaham shulabham partha.
Nitya yuktasya yogina.
Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. Ananya Chaita Satatam. Yo Tasya Ham Sulama Parta. Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. Invitation from the other side of the room. Ananya Chaita Satatam. Yo Mam Smarati Nitya Sa. Tasya Ham Sulabha Parta. Nitya Yuktasya Yogina. So can you pick out some words from there that you already know the translation of? Just say it one thing really loud. Nitya means? Okay. Someone else, another word that you recognize? Ananya means Maharaj? Undeviating devotional service without deviation. How about Smarati? Or a derivative of Smarati, Smritya?
Remembrance.
How about, you got Nitya, okay. Partha, you got that one too, right? Okay. Okay, here's the word-for-word translation. See, we already know half of the verse already. Ananya Cheta. Without deviation. Satatam. Always. Ya. Anyone. Mam. Me. Krishna. Sorry. Wrong language. Smarati. Remembers. Nityasa.
Regularly.
Tasya. To him. Aham, I am. Sulabha, very easy to achieve. Sulabha, very easy to achieve. So before that, I am very easy to achieve. Partha, O son of Pritha. Nitya, regularly. Yuktasya, engaged. Yogina, of the devotee. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation is, for one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Let's repeat that together. For one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. Before I begin the purport and start talking, I want to offer my prayers to Srila Prabhupada. Om Magina Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksu Umilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master forced open my eyes. I was trying to hold them shut. I don't want to. But he forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So I'm eternally indebted to his lotus feet for that. And beg for service life after life. Hare Krishna. And also I'd like to ask for blessings from the devotees here. I feel a little awkward giving class in front of Maharaj. Could I get your blessings? Thanks. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Now I feel better. Hare Krishna. Thank you very kindly. Okay, so I'm going to read the purport. I have I give class kind of regularly in Krishna House, and the devotees there, they read the purport, and they read one or two lines, and then I interrupt them and say something. So I'm going to interrupt myself as I read this purport tonight, okay? That's the plan. It's a plan. Okay. Just to refresh, for one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So I told you we were going to put it in perspective. So here in the eighth chapter starts out in an unusual way, because Krishna had asked, Arjuna had asked Krishna a question. Krishna had said something in the end of the seventh chapter, and Arjuna's asking clarification for that. So here's text 1 of the eighth chapter. I'm going to read it relatively quickly. But listen to this. This is a really heavy philosophical question, and Krishna is going to give simple answers, one-sentence answers, in the next few verses that follow. So Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? What are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Now, that's a loaded question. There's a lot of things in there. Okay, Arjuna is still saying, how does this Lord of Sacrifice live in the body? In which part does he live, O Madhusudan? And how can those, listen to this part, how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? He's concerned about that because he's on the battlefield. How is that going to help me remember you, and what's going to happen? The third text, Krishna's answering some of the questions like in one sentence. If, for example, someone asked you, what is karma? Would you be able to explain it in 10 words or less? It'd be difficult. Here, listen to this. The Supreme Lord said, the indestructible, transcendental, living entity is called Brahman. The self, the soul is called Brahman. And his eternal nature is called the self. Here's the definition of karma. Action pertaining to the development of these material bodies is called karma, or fruit of activities. Now that's a nutshell explanation, no? Okay, four. Physical nature is known to be endlessly mutable. The universe is the cosmic form of the Supreme Lord. And I am that Lord, represented as the super soul, dwelling in the heart of every embodied being. And whoever, at the time of death, quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. A very famous verse in the 8th chapter, text number 5. And then he says, whatever, just in case you're not remembering Krishna, what's going to happen? Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Heavy duty, right? Who can think of one example from the scriptures of a person who was not remembering Krishna at the time of death? Mahananda. Maharaj Bharat, who had renounced everything, went to the forest, performing austerities, made lots and lots of spiritual advancement, somehow got a little deviated, thought of a deer. But Krishna consciousness isn't, it's not impossible to obtain, and it's not I can't even think of the words, but what I mean to say is, not everything is lost. Not everything is lost. The advancement, the endeavors that we make to make progress in this life, if one is not 100% purified at the time of death, neha bikram is not stose. Krishna says, whatever little advancement you've made, that stays with you. So if anyone is not familiar with the story of the man who made a lot of spiritual advancement and then got a little deviated and then had to take birth as a deer, that wasn't the end of the story. And he made progress from there on, even in the body of the deer. So that's just a brief summary of that. Text 7 is, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. At the same time, carry out your prescribed duties of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. That's a promise from the Lord. You will attain me without doubt. It's very hopeful. Krishna consciousness, our future is very bright. No matter how much we might be struggling, let's be honest, we might be struggling this and that, so many things. Our future is very bright. He further says, he who meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Partha Arjuna, is sure to reach me. And then he describes the process of meditation, which, first I'll read it, and then we'll be frank. It's not very easy. One should meditate on the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and being transcendental is beyond this material nature. One who, at the time of death, fixes his life air between the eyebrows in full devotion, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord, will certainly attain the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then those people who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. And I shall now explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. So we're almost there. We're almost at the 14th verse. But the point is that Krishna is giving an explanation of different paths of yoga that in previous ages people followed to attain, to make progress on the path. And in this age, it's much more difficult to follow those types of processes of yoga. And at the same time, Krishna is giving us the easy path. Srila Prabhupada is giving us the easy path. Just think of Krishna. Engage in serving Krishna. And your mind will gradually become absorbed in that thinking. So just thinking of Krishna, we can say, okay, think of Krishna. Well, what are you going to think of him? How are you going to think of him? What are you going to think of when you say, think of Krishna? So, as if you've never heard this before, we always have to hear. We always have to be hearing about Krishna, because that'll help us think about him. We hear about his qualities, and we hear about that he's the oldest, that he's luminous like the sun. So many things. We hear of his pastimes. Then you can think of him, because he's always a person, and the information's there, given through the parampara by Srila Prabhupada. And then our path, it's the elevator process, as opposed to text number 12. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagement, closing the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. After being situated in the yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly attain to the spiritual planets. And now we're here. For one who remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. So Krishna is saying it's easy if we engage our mind and our senses in hearing about the Lord and remembering the Lord. It's an easy process compared to fixing the mind on, you know, the yogic process, those ladders. So if you when you read Bhagavad Gita, you might have this question. Why is Krishna saying so many different things? He's talking about Astanga Yoga. He's talking about Karma Yoga. He's talking about Jnana, knowledge, acquiring knowledge. Why doesn't he just say, just chant Hare Krishna? Just chant Hare Krishna. Just go for it. Just do bhakti. The reason is that he doesn't say that is because he's very kind. He's giving something for everybody. As you grow up, you notice it's harder and harder to get everybody on the same page. Even though you might think that everybody is on the same page, if you poke a little bit, you find out that many people have many different conceptions in life and many different desires. So Krishna's giving everybody, some people are intellectually inclined, he's giving them a process by which they can make progress, jnana yoga. But that process of jnana that's explained in Gita, the entry level to start that process is to take sannyas. Are we there? It's not practical for us. We're not there. So this process of bhakti yoga, it helps all of us, no matter where we're at, and that we can make some progress. From where we are to back to Godhead, it's an easy journey to other planets. Oh, sorry. Okay. Purport. Here's the purport. In this verse, the bhakti yoga of unalloyed devotees of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Godhead, is described. The preceding verses mention four different kinds of devotees: the distressed, the inquisitive, those who seek material gain, and the speculative philosophers. So even though Prabhupada says the preceding verses, I just read 14 verses of the 8th chapter, and those verses weren't there. That Prabhupada's referring to is in the 7th chapter. He talks about the four different persons who have pious background. They turn to the Supreme Lord under different conditions, under distress. Under distress, some people pray to God. And they have different desires. If they have some pious credits, they'll turn to the Lord to fulfill those desires. Different processes of liberation from material entanglement have also been described. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, hatha yoga. But here, bhakti yoga, without any mixture of these, is mentioned. In bhakti yoga, the devotee desires nothing but Krishna. So that when I read that sentence, I remembered a story of an incident when Srila Prabhupada was in New York. It was 55th Street. He was on the 12th floor. His room was on the 12th floor of our famous skyscraper building in New York. And there were some reporters there from different magazines. And they were asking Prabhupada different questions. And they asked Prabhupada, how many pure devotees there were in our movement. How many pure devotees there were. So if he would have asked me, I would have said one, Srila Prabhupada. But because he asked Prabhupada, and because Prabhupada has a different vision, he turned to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and said, Tamal, how many devotees are there in the movement? And at that time, I think the answer was 5,000. And Prabhupada said, 5,000. Because Srila Prabhupada has trained us up to desire Krishna. We might have other little desires here and there, some little minor desires. But our desire is to attain Krishna. That's an aspect of pure devotional service. And of course, we need to hone it down and clear off all the other weeds that grow up in the way, the distractions that grow up in the way. But that's how Prabhupada sees it. Sorry. The pure bhakti devotee does not desire promotion to heavenly planets, nor does he seek salvation or liberation from material entanglement. Because Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Abrahmana Bhuvana Loka, from the highest planet. You might think that if you go to the higher planet and you have a really, really long life and a really, really beautiful body and a really, really intelligent mind and a really, really nice situation, you might think, I got it. That's it. I'm happy. But Krishna's explaining the real reality. The real reality is no matter how long your life is in the heavenly planets and know how wealthy you might be or whatever good qualities you might have, it's all temporary. From the highest planet down to the lowest, they're all places of... Yay! It's miserable here! Yes! God. Sorry. A pure devotee does not desire... In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure devotee is called Niskama, which means he has no desire for self-interest. So, just a little aside... So we say, yeah, it's miserable here. Somebody said, but it's not so bad. I mean, things are going okay. But if you notice, if you analyze your life, or even now, we've got the fans on, but we wish the air conditioning was on and it would work enough. Because why? Because it's so wonderfully hot and humid out here that very few people would say, it's my favorite time of the year. Very few. And if it wasn't that, then it's the winter time when very few people would say, this is my favorite time of the year either, because it's so cold. And in between, there's all these other things, the bugs and the this and the that and the alligators and the thorns and so many things and the people next door, and, you know, we don't have to get into it. But in the meantime, we're adjusting. Maybe I move, maybe I got the air conditioning fixed, maybe I this, maybe I got a different job, maybe I this. Now I'm happy, kind of. Sort of, for some time. It's better than before. But it's all going to end. It's all going to end. Hare Krishna. Okay. Perfect peace belongs to him alone, not them who strive for personal gain. Now that's a hard one, right? Perfect peace belongs to the person before, who has no self-interest. That person who has Krishna's self in Krishna's interest is their interest. That person has peace. The pure devotee only wants to please the Supreme Lord, and so the Lord says that for anyone who is unflinchingly devoted to Him, He is easy to obtain. Devotee can render service to any of the transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord, like grinding chandan, or like helping clean in the kitchen, or like so many ways we can render service, and that goes to what? Our eternal benefit. Not that I'm making a plug, but I can totally relate. Okay, so, here's another thing. The devotee can render service to any of the transcendental forms of the Supreme Lord, and he meets with none of the problems that plague the practitioners of other yogas. None of the problems. So one of the problems for an aspiring transcendentalist who's on the level of trying to see everything as one, trying to see the Supreme Lord in everyone's heart, for that seriously engaged person, they're making progress. They're making progress. They make progress, and actually they can make progress and see, if they get to that, you know, rarely, but they can see the Lord situated in their own heart, to actually get the Lord's darshan through meditation in their heart. They can see Him. But that's not, but there's a danger there. And there's a danger that befalls those practitioners if they're not hearing from the proper source, of misidentifying themselves as that Supreme Person. Now, that's no small pitfall. That's a huge pitfall, to think, I am God. Hare Krishna. So these types of pitfalls and other types of dangers that come for the someone on the karma, the karmi yogi, they're following the karma kanda process, they're making gradual advancement, they're doing sacrifices, they're following some rules and regulations, and there's a lot there that has to be done in order for it to get done properly. The place has to be sacred. The person doing it has to be chant the mantras perfectly. So many things have to be, the time has to be perfect. You can't just do it anytime, anywhere. And if you slip up, you might end up in a well. Who is that person? King Nriga. King Nriga ended up in a well. He was doing everything so, he was giving in charity, getting so many things. And there was just, and it wasn't even his fault. It's not fair. It wasn't his fault. Some little cow wandered across the line and a whole mix-up happened and he ended up in the well. Terrible! Except for the fact that Krishna got him out of the well. So there was Neha Bikrama Nastoste, that little endeavor that he had made, it didn't go in vain, and Krishna saved him. So anyway, but there's a lot of difficulty. So, but bhakti yoga is very simple, pure, and easy to perform. You know how to begin? Chant Hare Krishna. One can begin simply by chanting Hare Krishna. And here's a sweet line. Krishna is very merciful to those who engage in his service, and he helps in various ways that devotee who is fully surrendered to him so he can understand him as he is. Krishna is very merciful to those who engage in his service, and he helps in various ways that devotee who is fully surrendered to him so he can understand him as he is. So the other day, Sesha Prabhu gave Srimad Bhagavatam class here. He had a little interaction with devotees. He was just trying to just solicit from them different, and in what incident happened in their life that solidified Krishna consciousness for them. And this one person, whom, because I was listening on the radio, I couldn't see who she was, but this one lady said, what solidified Krishna consciousness for me is when I was coming to the temple in the beginning, one time I prayed to the deities, oh, I'd really like to engage in your service. I'd really like to do something for Lord Jagannath. And she offered her prayers and da-da-da. And she went out the temple room and somebody said, oh, can you help make turbans for Lord Jagannath? Like that, those things don't happen by chance. That is the super soul connection. The super soul connection happens a lot because being in the heart of every living entity, he doesn't have problems connecting. You know, he doesn't get a bad reception. He can connect. Narada Muni can find out where Dhruva Maharaj is walking in the forest and give him good instructions. Someone else can connect in so many ways. They can connect because the Lord says, go this way and see this person. Or go over here and ask this person to do this. Because they just prayed for that. That's Krishna helping us. He says in the 10th, in those, the seed verses in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam. He's giving us the ability to those, thank you, who are constantly devoted and worship me in love. I give them the understanding. That understanding is coming from Krishna. We have to make our endeavor, as we've heard many times. We have to make our endeavor to serve Krishna, to understand Krishna. But it's not by our endeavor that we understand Krishna. Krishna gives us the ability to understand it. And he gradually, when he is pleased, and he's pleased very easily and constantly. So if one is constantly trying to please him, he's got your number. He's got your number. The Lord gives such a devotee sufficient intelligence so that ultimately the devotee can attain him in his spiritual kingdom. And that's his promise. 10th seed verses of Bhagavad Gita, 10, 8, 9, 10, and 11. They're very inspirational. Krishna says, Prabhupada says there in the purport that even if one doesn't have enough intelligence to apply himself to learn properly to learn the philosophy or apply himself to the movement or whatever, still if there's the sincerity of heart there, Krishna will guide him. Krishna will guide him. And sometimes it's hard to see Krishna's guidance. It's much easier, as they say, hindsight. When you look behind, hindsight is 20/20. You see it more clearly. Oh, that's why that happened. That's why that happened. Because when that happened, then that person did this, and then that person brought me to the temple. That's why that happened. But when it's happening, sometimes it's not so easy to see. But so if we trace the mercy in our life, we'll see how Krishna's providing. So as the time is scooting by, I just want to I want to go to the last, my favorite part of this purport. It's the middle of the last paragraph. Don't worry, I'm just going to read it. In any of these ways, the pure devotee is always constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord and cannot forget the Supreme Lord. And so for him, the Lord is easily attained. Okay, listen to this. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. A pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So sometimes we might read these purports and you might read it and you go, yeah. But if you read it with your heart and your mind and you read it attentively, something like that. The Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. That doesn't mean that he's not forgetting Prahlad Maharaj only, or Judd Bharat only. No, he's not forgetting you. Little old you and me, and the person next to you, and everyone else. He's not forgetting them, and he's giving us nudges, and he's giving us mercy, and he's giving us whatever. He's giving us a custom fit of what, of a token of what we deserve and a token of what we don't deserve, whatever. He's giving us so many things, and he's not forgetting us. So we should never feel by ourselves. We should never feel hopeless. We should never feel that it's too hard to attain. Yes, it's true. From here to back home, back to Godhead, might be a long way. But did you know that, sorry, I just thought of this. When Gajendra the elephant, there he was in an elephant body, but he was a spirit soul. He wasn't just a dumb elephant, he was a spirit soul, he was in an elephant body. He was caught in the river, lake, with an alligator chomping on his leg for a very long time. A very, 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 very long time that alligator was chomping on his leg. And even though he had superior strength, he wasn't in his element. The alligator was in his element. The elephant was out of his element. The alligator was gaining over the elephant. And Gajendra, it finally dawned on him. It didn't dawn on him right in the very beginning. I'm going to lose this battle and die. He didn't think that. He thought, by my prowess, I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm smarter than an alligator. I'm going to beat him. But after a long time, he realized, I'm not going to win. And he grabbed with his little arm, in the form of his trunk, he grabbed that lotus flower, and he offered prayers to the Supreme Lord. Now, where was Gajendra? Gajendra was on Trikut Mountain, somewhere in the Himalayas, right? Okay, on this earth. And where was that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan? In Vaikuntha. Like, could you calculate the distance, how far away he was? You know, Vaikuntha, like, you can't calculate, right? But he offered that prayer, and the Lord heard that prayer, and he came just like that, and he appeared before him. So he's there. The Lord is there. There's always, he's there. He's here. He's in your heart. He's guiding us. There's always hope. He's never far away. He's the most closest person to us. He's closer than your eyeball. No, eyelid. Eyeball too. But he's so close. And we just have to practice hearing, practice chanting, practice talking about him. And the rest is up to him. Any questions or comments? Oh my Krishna. Mahanandaji. Hold on. As a devout listener on the radio, it's always agitating when people start to talk before the microphone gets there.
Can you mention why didn't Krishna just tell us just to chant Hare Krishna?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, as soon as you said that, I was thinking, well, there is something in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna does, in a way.
Oh, yeah.
He says, just remember me. And then he says, if you can't do that, then engage in the regulated principles of devotional service. If you can't do that, then work for me. Help and Prabhupada explain.
Yeah.
You can help. And then if you can't do that, and if you can't do this, and if you can't do that, it goes down more and more.
Yeah.
You know, so in a way, Krishna, he does tell us.
He's definitely telling us. But at the same time, he said, if you can't do it, because he's gauging everybody.
Right.
So my point still stands.
Enter wherever they are.
He still stands. One more time. Pundarik, thank you. Soon I won't even be able to remember the first syllable, so. Okay, go ahead, Peru.
Well, I don't come enough for you to remember, so. recently I've been reading the song Saranagati, or however you pronounce it,
okay,
by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Can you hear him? He's got it close.
Hare Krishna.
Speak loud. Okay, yes. Okay, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's.
Okay, so I've been reading, and I came across in the introductory song a phrase that I had never encountered before in Srila Prabhupada's books, which was very... I will just tell it to you. I think you could speak about it nicely. He's describing the process of surrender.
Uh-huh.
And he says, well, it starts out with humility. The second thing he says is dedication of the self. That was the phrase, dedication of the self. And it just made me think about how when I was a new devotee, that is what I did. I think that's what we all did. We dedicated ourselves, give up whatever we were doing, and
we're still new devotees,
dedicated
but go
to
on.
Srila Prabhupada, mm-hmm. to this ISKCON movement. But I know in my own life that I slacked off and backed off of that, you know, getting into household life and this and that. And it's a big, important phrase, I think, for me. Maybe I need to get back to that, if you can speak on that.
Dedication of the self doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do every artik here at the temple all day long. You know what I mean? That is a certain type of dedication, and that's very praiseworthy. But as we go along in Krishna consciousness, our consciousness expands so that we can see how that different ways that we can dedicate ourselves to the service of the Lord and to the service of Srila Prabhupada. So how to get to that is not different for anyone else. Prabhupada gave us a basic program to follow, basic rounds to chant, basic things like that, hearing and chanting, the five most important aspects of devotional service, so many things which we can talk about. I'd love to talk about it a little bit more in detail with you. And that's all I want to say for now. Thank you. Anything else from perhaps a newer person who might have anything they want to clarify? Or any doubts? There's a new girl over there. Hi, Krishna.
Can we go back to the kind of like towards the beginning, where it's the personal gain aspect? It's where Krishna says, "You
a pure devotee does not desire anything. Devotee is called nishkama, which means he has no desire or self-interest."
It said specifically personal gain.
I don't know. What was your question about?
The question was, what exactly is personal gain? You can't use devotional service for your own personal gain? Is that what Krishna is saying?
That's one of the things.
So what would be considered personal gain?
Prestige, money,
okay.
Position.
So devotional service is not available to that
person? It's not available. It's always available. It's mixed. If it's mixed with those things, it's not pure. It's not performed purely. And let's look at ourselves. We're in the process of unmixing our mixed up desires. Yes, we want Krishna, but we also want a few comforts and perhaps air conditioning. Whatever, you know what I mean? Food, so many things, you know, we have those desires. We're not at that level, but we hear about what that level is about. And we perform our devotional service to the best of our ability so that we gradually make progress. And Jamasami Prabhu, would you like to add anything to that? Briefly, okay, because I'm already over time. I can feel
one way to answer that is one could say that anything outside of specifically trying to please Krishna could be for personal gain. So we can do normal things in life, like we can eat, and we do that for Krishna. We can sleep, we can do that for Krishna. We can maintain bodily health for Krishna's pleasure. So if we're thinking along those lines, and that's within the realm of pure devotional service. If we're doing things for other motives, that's what's being talked about, you know, the personal desires, personal gains.
Thanks.
So someone may be a GBC or a temple president, but if he's doing it just to please Krishna, that's within the realm of pure devotion.
Thank you. So let's remember this simple thing that the devotional service and Krishna, they're easy to attain. And Krishna says, a pure devotee cannot forget the Supreme Lord for a moment. And similarly, the Supreme Lord cannot forget his pure devotee for a moment. This is the great blessing of the Krishna conscious process of chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. Thank you. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prasadam ki jai. Cleaning the kitchen ki jai. Oh.